lift it up now. Oh yes, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, He is worthy to be praised and adored. And so we lift up holy hands in one accord. Sounds lovely, church. Let's lift Him up now. Well, now blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy and oh, and so we lift it up. Oh, in one accord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed. Once again, with all your hearts, just worship Him now, church. Oh, yes, we sing, blessed be the name. Oh, you're worthy now, you're worthy now. And oh, so days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Church, yes, Lord, all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will see of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Fire in darkest days, you've been close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend. Oh, I have lived in the goodness of God all my life, church. Of faithful now. The goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. Well, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Are you thankful for Him? Are you thankful for His goodness? Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't He lovely? Amen. What a privilege and honor it is to gather with you in His precious name. And it's just such a blessing to see each and one, every one of your faces here today. We have some folks that are away and traveling, not with us. Man, in light of the tragic events that have transpired, I know many hearts and minds are heavy. Amen. But I'm thankful for His promises. I'm thankful that in the midst of trials that we can stand firm with a calm assurance that we can claim our loved ones, amen, and that they'll be there on the other side waiting for us when we get there, amen. Well, my heart is heavy this morning, but I love the Lord, and I want to praise Him and worship Him today. So let's just lift Him up, amen, and give Him glory. Thank you for the cross, Brother Matt.
Thank you for the cross.
This love, oh Lord.
vision. His strength that carries us through because we just don't have it. Man, I'm so glad that we have someone we can lean on. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I have so many needs in front of me today. Satan is just attacking so many families on so many fronts. And we really need to pull together and pray for our brothers and sisters. But I'm confident that my God is bigger than every one of these problems. And I speak the name of Jesus over each and every one today. Amen. Brother Aaron, I'm going to ask you to take these needs to the Lord for us in prayer, brother, if you'd get ready to come. I have a note that says to please pray for Brother Richard and Sister Mary Smith. They're always continually in my prayers. I know that you're holding them up as well. They're just not able to be here with us. I'm sure they're streaming today. We love them so dearly and hold them up before us. And see Brother Joe and Sister Frida here today, but they've been able to come and attend service with us, and what a blessing it is to see their faces. Amen. God's really brought them through so much, and just holding Sister Frida up in prayer. Amen as well. Note here from Sister, I believe it's Amber, McCall, to remember a lifelong friend, Tina Buchanan, for lung cancer. Amen. Wow, what a terrible thing. Let's remember this sister in prayer. And also, if you'd remember Sister Shirley Buchanan in your prayers, and also Brother Brian McCall's request in prayer. A note from Sister Cindy here. If you'd please pray for Jack Walters, Bill's dad. He's recovering from a fall that he had recently. And I'm sure he's suffering with pain there. We'll hold him up in prayer. And several of our youth at church here, we're attending the meetings up in Johnson City. And I pray that those meetings have been a blessing to them, and we'll just hold them up in our prayers for traveling mercies. Amen. So remember Lucas and Haley as well, having to travel. And we are holding Brother Keith up in our prayers. I'm sure Brother Aaron may have a few notes to add on that, but he's really going through a tough time right now. And we need to pray that God's grace would be for Brother Keith. And this goes without mentioning the Britton family, the recent tragedy. And thank you all so much for the outpouring of love and support for them. I've been over there myself, and I've seen many of you just showing your love and affection for the family. Man, we love the Britton family so much. We're thankful to have them in our assembly today. And I don't even know what to say, but I'm praying for Brother Sam and Sister Nadia and the family. We love you so much. God's going to bring you through this, is all I can say. Just keep pressing on. And Brother Aaron, if you'll come forward, do you have special unspoken needs on your heart? I know I have some on mine. Let's just join our hearts together in prayer for our brothers and sisters. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this afternoon. Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that you are the God of the mountains and you are the God of the valley. Lord, you give life and you take life. Oh God, as Job of old worshipped, and he says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes, but blessed be the name of the Lord. But Father, we know that we as Christians, that we don't die. For oh God, the life that you have given us is an eternal life. The devil might buffet, Satan might fight, but we know that we are eternal beings. Lord God, even when you were here on earth, you said our friend Lazarus sleepeth. And the disciples say, if he's sleeping, he doeth well. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the power of the resurrection. We thank you, Lord God, that Eli may not be able to come to us, but one day we shall go to him. We are so thankful, Father, that you know just the right time to harvest your people. Lord God, for the prophet says in the message that the purpose of God cannot be defeated. Once God's purpose is fulfilled, God will take us home. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for your plan of redemption. Though today we are hurting, though, Father, we are one soldier short, though, oh God, we have lost a limb, Father, of part of our body, Lord, we ask for healing. We ask for comfort. You said in your word that you are the comforter. You are the counselor. You are a comforter because you knew, Lord God, that we would go through pain, would go through distress, would go through times of difficulty. But in all those things, as the Bible says, that all things work together to, for the good of them that love the Lord. Father, we want to remember, oh God, Brother Keith Buchanan, who's in the hospital this afternoon. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father, for we know that you have already healed him. We know that the enemy is a defeated enemy. We know that we are fighting a defeated devil. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, that there is nothing that we can fear. For each time you would come to the church, you would say, "Fear not, little flock. Peace be with you." Lord, may your angels be with Brother Keith this hour. Help him, Father. We are expecting, Lord, a full recovery and a miracle. And for all the saints that have been mentioned, Lord God, we know there's nothing that is too difficult for the Lord. There is nothing that is too higher. There is nothing that is too low. There is no river too wide. There is no mountain too high that our God cannot deliver. Father, you are mighty to save and you are mighty to deliver. We thank you, Father. Be with us and be with our pastor as he travels back. We are praying for the coming service. May you anoint the minister. Lord, for your word says you make your angel spirits and your ministers a flame of fire. May you come, Father, and just take him, Lord, by your right hand and deliver your word, oh God, that, Father, the devil might be defeated out of this place. Grant it this afternoon, Father. We commit it into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Aaron. You may have your seat for just a moment. Let's just continue in that mode of worship. Amen. It just sounds so lovely. We fall.
It's a B-flat.
May have you in the wrong key there, brother.
We fall down and we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatest song is mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. Cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb.
Sing it again, church.
Spirit,
and let me be and he is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. And he is able, more than able, to handle that again, church. Well, he is able. Oh, he is able, church, to accomplish what concerns me today. And he is able, more than able, to handle that my way. Serve thee because I love thee. I think it's in the same key, Brother D. I will serve thee because I love thee, for you have given life to let your heart sing it out now. Tithes and offerings are a continuation of worship. Amen. And we trust those things go around the world to spread His gospel and spread the truth. Amen. Brother Ethan, if you'd like to lead us in prayer, brother.
Dear Lord, we thank You for this opportunity to be here, Lord. We just ask that You come down and touch every heart, Lord. Just speak to everyone that's here, Lord. Ask You to bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Brother Jason introduced a song to us last Sunday. Man, took me way back, brother. I'm so glad that you reminded me of that song. I'd like to sing that today, amen. I'd like to dedicate this song to the Britton family, amen, and to the memory of Eli. Amen. Let's sing that song, I'm So Glad He Found Me. Let's try the key of F, brother. Amen. Are you thankful He found you? Amen. Are you thankful that He's given you life? Oh, hallelujah. Let's sing this together.
Well, I was on the mountain, wandering from the fountain, when I heard my Savior speak to me. And He said, come to me, of your sins repenting, and I will lift you out where you can see. Well, I'm so glad He found me, and love He found me, put His arms around me. Well, then He led me shelter. Oh, now I'm one of His very own. And oh, the joy of knowing, with hearts of glowing, someday I'm going, oh, to my home, my home in glory. That are paved with gold, and I will love Him ever, stray from Him no never. He's the dearest friend I ever knew, and when I see Him yonder, my love will just grow fonder. In that happy land beyond the blue. Well, I'm so glad He found me, in love He found me, put His arms around me. Oh, then He led me to the shelter. Oh, now I'm His very own. Oh, 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 the joy of knowing with heart. I'm going well to my home, my home in glory. We'll walk the streets and hope they would go. So glad he found me. Well, now I'm, are you thankful? So glad he found me. Oh, oh, oh yes, and he put his arms around me. Verse again. Well, I was on that mountain, wandering from the fountain, when I heard my Jesus speak to me. Well, he said, come to me, relenting of your sins, repenting, and I will lift you out where you can see.
Can't wait for the day when I walk on those streets paved with gold.
Amen.
And see all my loved ones that have gone on before me. Yes. Saints of God, what a glorious time that'll be.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. I believe hearts and minds are ready for the word today.
Yes.
And without further ado, we'll invite Brother Aaron Ningamaza to introduce the minister today. And we're just excited to see what the Lord has in store for us. Let's just sing that song, I Have a Father, I Have a Maker. Sing this together. I have a maker, and he formed my heart, and before even time began, my life was in his hand.
our call this morning. And I'm glad that we have a maker and we have a father. When we are broken, he is there to help us through. We don't want to take a lot of your the time before the minister comes. Just one announcement. So the service, funeral service for our precious brother Eli Emmanuel is going to be on Wednesday, 2 p.m. here at the church. So that means we won't have our regular Wednesday service. So just remember that Wednesday, 2 p.m. Celebration service for our departed brother. We just want to continue praying for the family during this difficult time. Appreciate all of you going up there, sending messages, and showing your support. And we want to remember Brother Barry as he is traveling back from Canada. We just want to keep him up in prayer. Maybe we can pray and then I'll introduce the minister. Let's bow our heads and our hearts. Heavenly Father, we want to take this time to remember the Britons, Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, there is no words that can explain the pain in the flesh of losing a son, a loved one, or a child. Lord, because we are in these bodies that are fallen, it takes time to heal, Lord. It takes time to understand. It takes time to process. But Lord, we know that in your plan, everything is perfect. Oh God, for you have worked everything out and you know, Lord, all the steps that you take, Father. For we know that the footsteps of the righteous, they are ordered of the Lord. Father, we are so grateful that we can call upon you. We ask that your Holy Spirit may come and just be with the church during this difficult time. Help us, Lord, that we may not cry as those that have no hope. For Paul says that we comfort each other with these words, that one day we shall be with the Lord. In the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, we shall be changed. Father, we are so grateful that we have a hope beyond the grave. We have hope beyond the river. Be with us this morning. We pray for the pastor who is coming to minister the word. May you just anoint him, oh God. Use him as a vessel to speak to your people during this time. We thank you and we give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may have your seats. It is our privilege and joy to have Pastor Chikosi today, all the way from Zimbabwe. He's now based in Sheffield, UK. He traveled with his wife, Sister Anne Chikosi. If you can stand up, that the church may greet you, Sister Chikosi. God bless you. Amen. Pastor Chikosi was my pastor in Zimbabwe. Myself, Sister Trish, he has been used by the Lord to really spread the message through the great part of the eastern part of Zimbabwe and Mozambique. So they would go into Mozambique, minister the word, the message. And ministers would come, have, you know, even classroom sessions to teach them the message. And now what we call the Beira Corridor, that borders Zimbabwe and Mozambique, there are lots and lots of Zimbabweans. And we thank God for using him in that regard. He has been a minister and a pastor for over 40 years. And I know certainly many, many churches have come out of his ministry. And it just blesses my heart to see these pillars, Brother Barry Coffey, Brother Chikosi, just staying faithful in the field, just preaching the same words that they were preaching 10, 15, 20 years ago. It's easy to rise up for a year, but just staying faithful for 40 years, that takes the grace of God. So he's been here in the United States preaching at, a convention in South Florida, as well as other places around the country. So it's our honor to privilege to have him. And also, last summer, we sent books to southern part of Zimbabwe, about 1.5 million sermons. So one book would have like three or four titles. So he was very instrumental. We used the church in Harare that he pastored before he moved to the UK. And his son, they've been of great help with helping us move the books to Zimbabwe. And literally we have used their church for keeping books before we spread them out to Mozambique and Malawi. And that takes a lot of work.
And we are so glad that he's been able to help in that regard so that we don't have to pay customs and those different things. And we've been working with Brother Ben in the background to do that. So we are so thankful for all his effort, and we want to appreciate him. Now let's stand upon our feet as we invite him without taking much of the time. We'll sing a song. Brother Jaron, maybe let's sing Have Your Way as he comes.
Have your way. Have your way. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and have your way. And
it's my joy to be here with you this beautiful Sunday morning, and I want to bring you greetings from the body of Christ, trusting that God is with you and comforting you, especially at the loss of one of you. I trust the Holy Ghost will just comfort each and every one. It's one of those things. Obviously, death brings a shadow on the church, but if there is a shadow, it means there is light somewhere. And so we thank God for that light, which is where our precious young brother is standing right now. I want to take this time to appreciate you, Pastor, for your great work in supporting the furtherance of this message. I don't have words enough to appreciate the missionary vision and burden that is upon you to spread this message, to make available the books and the voice that God has given us in this generation. I'm so thankful. May the Lord reward you. You will find out on that day there will be so many people that will be raising up their hands, thanking the Lord for all your effort. May God bless you richly, and may He restore and give you a hundredfold. Well, without wasting much time, let's stand and read the word this morning. Maybe before we read, I would like just to pray. And if you have a request, you want God to meet with you this morning, if you're sick or you have any desire, you can raise your hand as we pray. God bless you. He sees your hands and he knows your need. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning to be in your presence, in your house. We thank you for the songs of worship that has gone forth, preparing our hearts for the coming word. And Lord Jesus, as your word goes forth, may it also supply our needs as we lift our hands to you. You are the omnipotent God, all able. You can do all things. It's written in your word, is anything too hard with the Lord? So, Father, we pray that you stretch forth your goodness to each and everyone who has raised up their hand, that, Lord, they will receive what they are in need of. And as I stand here also, I need your grace. I need the unction of the Holy Spirit to be able to speak to your purchased possession, that church that you bought with your blood. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you hold my mouth from anything that will not edify, but that you give me liberty to deliver what will edify. We commit ourselves to you with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I wish to read from the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Two verses from there, and then Revelations chapter 19, also two verses from there. From Matthew 25, I wish to read verse 6 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 25, I'm reading verse 6 and verse 10. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." On verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Revelation 19. On verse 7 and 8. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. I wish to ask each and every one of you this morning a personal question, and that's my subject title. And the question I have for all of you this morning is, are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for the rapture? Let us examine ourselves this morning. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13 on verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Jesus in Luke chapter 18 on verse 8 asked the question, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? In other words, will he find the church with the faith for what he is coming to do? He is coming for the rapture. Will he find rapturing faith in the people that he is coming to take home. We know that the opening of the seals by the seven thunders was in order to gather the bride together and to give her rapturing grace for that church to move out. And the prophet speaks in the first seal, and he says, there is coming forth seven thunders, mysterious thunders. That's not even written at all. And he says, through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. And he says, because what we've got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There is something, he says, we've got to step further. We can't have enough faith for divine healing hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept up out of this earth. I think those are very serious comments that we have to think on this morning, especially as we are at a time also of bereavement, which obviously the going away of one of us is really just also showing how all of us will one day have to go. And if we go before the rapture, we sleep. In the Lord, we rest. But if the rapture comes, we will be changed. Amen. And we have to be ready. Amen. And that's my burden this morning. Are you ready for the rapture? And I'm not asking you as a collective group of believers, but I'm asking you as a person, individually. Are you ready? Should the Master call today? Amen. Should he call tomorrow morning and say, it is finished, come home? Are we ready? In spiritual food in due season, the prophet said that we must be built up in the holy oracles of God. And he said, in the faith. He says, the faith of this hour. He says, the faith. It's going to take more faith than ever was in any age. For this has to be rapturing faith to be taken up. It must therefore be perfect faith. May God help us to have perfect faith. And when our faith is perfected, it becomes rapturing faith. That's the climax of faith. When our faith is perfected, when our faith really comes to where it's supposed to be, it will change our bodies in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, then we will be gone. Are you ready for the rapture this morning? Remember, there will be no public announcement of his coming. He comes secretly as a thief in the night. So it's a sudden, secret going away. And the announcement also is very secret. The announcement has already gone forth. The announcement of his coming has already gone forth. For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. And the shout is the message calling the bride together to come out of Babylon, to come out of confusion, and to get ready for the rapture. The seventh seal, which is the coming of the Lord, was broken And the prophet tells us that it's not broke to the public, but to the bride. Amen. We know we are in the season of the coming of the Lord. Amen. He can come any time. Every sign is pointing that we have lived that time out. The rapture is way past due. Amen. We have outlived the time. The things that have happened, the accumulation of the evidence of the end time has been too much for us to grope in darkness anymore. And it prompts me this morning to ask you, as an individual, are you ready for the rapture? Yes, we do come to church. Yes, we do support church programs. We sing, we help, we preach, we pay tithes, we do everything. But most importantly, are you ready for the rapture? In the scriptures that we read, the midnight cry is, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And the proclamation is, "Go out to meet him. Go receive him. Go welcome him. Go out." Means you must come out of one condition and enter into another condition. Amen. Of welcoming and receiving the bridegroom. And that's the condition we are supposed to be in. Yes, it is important to come out, but it is also very, very important, more important, to enter in. Amen. For many came out of Egypt, but of the 2 million that came out, only 2 made it through. That's Joshua and Caleb. Amen. The rest were born along the way. But of those who came from Egypt, only 2 made it. So even as we are here, we've come out of Babylon. We've come out of confusion. We've come out of denominations. We've left the world. We came out of rock and roll and things of the world. But this morning, are we in Christ? Are we in the Word? Are we in the message of His second coming, which is the rapture message? In Matthew 25, verse 10, where I read, the bridegroom came. And when the bridegroom came, it's not everyone who went with him, though all of them had gone out to meet him. But when he finally came, because he lingered, and as he lingered, they slumbered and they slept. And I see a lot of slumbering among believers, a lot of backsliding, falling away, people doubting the message, some wanting to correct the prophet, some thinking there is something better than the message because his coming has lingered. And people are slumbering, people are falling out. But it's all in the scriptures. Amen. That day will not come unless there be a falling away first. Amen. There's got to be a falling away. We've got to have the Lot's wife looking back and thinking we have maybe made a mistake somewhere. The bridegroom came. Only they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And then the third part, the door was shut. No chance to come in again. Oh God, don't let the door be shut on me. Amen. I pray this morning the door never be shut on you. May God help us to enter into the marriage feast of the Lamb. And before we enter into the actual marriage feast, we enter into the spiritual feast of the revealed word. After the seals were revealed, then John was told, go take that book. Take that open book and you eat it. Feed on it. Feast on it. And at a time that we ought to be really so enthused about the message and excited about the things that God has revealed, we find some fed up of that message. Some want something else. Some think he was wrong on that. He was not educated. His calculations always missed and this, that, and the other. It's a very treacherous hour. In Matthew 22, on verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. On verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. But he had come to the feast. He had accepted the invitation. Yet when he was there, he didn't have the wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Let's not be speechless. Let's be ready with an answer of the hope that lies within us.
Amen.
This man here was speechless. And then on verse 13, the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away. Cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Think about it. Friend, this was not a stranger. Friend, how did you come in? Without the wedding garment. Which way did you use to come into the feast? There's only one way to enter in. There's only one door there. And how did you come in? He was speechless. He did not enter by the door. He had entered some other way. He had not come in by the door. And we know Jesus is the door. John 10:7. Then said Jesus unto them again, very, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep.
Amen.
On verse 1 of John 10, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So what was said to this one here? He says, bind him, throw him out, shut the door on him, get him out of here. He's not fit for the marriage. He doesn't have the wedding garment on. Yes, he has taken heed to the invitation. He's come, but he's not properly dressed. He didn't come in the right way. He came in by the back door somewhere. Bind him hand and foot. Take him away. Cast him into outer darkness. He says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we know those who will miss the rapture, those who are not ready for the rapture, will go through the tribulation period. God, don't let the door be shut on us like that. But they that were ready went in with him, with the bridegroom, to the marriage, and the door was shut. And I guess those that were in, the proclamation was made, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come.
Amen.
And his wife hath made herself ready. If I go back to that statement, friend, how did you come in? Not having a wedding garment. How did you come in without the oil? How did you come in without the baptism of the Holy Ghost? How did you come in? How were you baptized? How did you enter in? Which channel did you use to enter in? Which way did you use to come in? One time, one disciple asked the Lord to show them the way. That's in John chapter 14. Here is the way. And there is no other way this morning, my friend, my brother, my sister. I'm speaking to individuals. I'm not speaking to you as a church. I want you to receive this as an individual and say, today, the Lord was speaking to me through the preacher. Amen. It's directed to you as an individual. Don't pass it to your wife or to your husband or to your daddy or to your mother or to your children or to anybody else. Are you ready for the rapture? Now, here is the way in John chapter 14 on verse 4. He was talking again about, don't let your heart be troubled. It was coming to the time where he was about to leave them. And it's amazing how Jesus, at the time of his passion, when he was about to leave, he referred to the Holy Spirit as the comforter, because he knew they needed comfort. He was now going to leave them, and they were going to be sorrowful. And he says, I will send you the comforter. So he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in me, believe also in the Father. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now watch on verse 4. And whither I go, you know. He had told them where he was going. He told them, I came from the Father. I came from God, and I go back to God. They knew. Father, glorify me with that glory which I had with you before the world formed. They knew. He told them where he was going. So whither I go, you know. You know I'm not going to Rome. I'm going back to the Father. Amen. I'm not going to Egypt. I'm not going nowhere else. I'm going back to the Father where I came from. Amen. You know where I am going. And the way, you know. I like that too. You know where I'm going, and the way, you know. Amen. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? On verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Amen. Amen. The truth and the life. Amen. You see, he's answering them two questions in that one answer. He asked two questions and say, we know not whither thou goest. That's number one. And how can we know the way? And Jesus answered those two questions in his answer. I am the way. Why do you say you don't know the way? I am the way and the life. And then he says, and no man cometh unto the Father, which is where he was going, but by me. So Jesus, when he was here, clearly told them the way. And in Matthew 28, he told them the way to baptize. Amen. On verse 19, go ye therefore, preach and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And he particularly said, in the name, one name, not in the names of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, but in the name, one name, which is of the Father, is also of the Son, and is also of the Holy Ghost. He didn't tell them plainly to go and baptize in his name as he was still with them like that. So he says, I've got many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them. But when the Comforter comes, he will make these things clear to you. Amen. He will teach you and guide you and lead you into all truth. So he says, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Christ was a mystery. He spoke in mysteries. But we thank God all the mysteries are revealed. Amen. And when Peter was asked the way, the first baptism ever conducted in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, 38. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Which is the way? How do we enter into the kingdom? We've been pricked by your preaching. We want to repent. We want to go to heaven. We want to enter into the kingdom. Then said Peter unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you come this way of repentance and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you will receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's no doubt about that. So if you fail to get the Holy Ghost, something wrong somewhere. If you are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are sincere and have repented of all your sins, God is under obligation to give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the prescription there. If it doesn't happen, maybe you are confused on what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. Maybe you are not well taught on how to receive the Holy Ghost. Or maybe you are not desperate enough. You are not sincere enough. You just say you want it, but you are not really desperate. If you are desperate, blessed are those that hunger, for they shall be filled. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost the moment that you are ready for it. I never had somebody, myself, in my own life, my own experience. Nobody ever even preached to me about you need to get the Holy Spirit and things. I just became so desperate after I gave my life to Christ, received Him as my personal Savior, and I wanted victory. I wanted overcoming power. It so troubled me. I didn't know nothing about fasting, because in the Methodist church, we never used to fast or anything. But God just took away the desire for food. 2 days, I could not eat, wanting more of God. I didn't know what I was praying for. I saw more of God. And in that search, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And nobody shook me. Nobody laid hands on me. The Holy Ghost just filled me. And He can do the same. When the soul is ready, God baptizes it with the Holy Ghost. It can happen while I'm preaching right now. It can happen while you are in your own home. It can happen while you are driving, cooking. As long as your heart is ready, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we make it so complicated and then we don't receive the Holy Ghost because we get into a well of a mind battle. So how must I kneel and what must I do? What must I say? How must I pray if I am to get the Holy Ghost? It's not like that. Just let go. Let God have His wonderful way. You just let go. Say, Lord, I love you. Lord, fill me. Lord, I need victory. I need to overcome. I need new life in me. I need a change. I need to be turned around. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. So when Paul came to Ephesus and he found some disciples there who were rejoicing, and he was keen to find out which way they had come in. And he said unto them in Acts chapter 19 on verse 2 and 3, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? There you are. Paul was noticing here that they missed the way somehow. They missed the way. Here are people who are believing, but they have not received the Holy Ghost. Why is it like that? Have you received the Holy Ghost? They says, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Then he went to their foundation. He went to their entrance. Friend, how did you come in? without the wedding garment.
How did you come into the message when you don't have the Holy Ghost baptism? You say you're in the message. You ain't got no rapturing faith. And this message is the preparation. The Bible says, behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet. He shall turn the hearts of the children back to the Pentecostal fathers. Elijah has come. Elijah has gone. The seals are revealed. The bride has been called. And you still don't have rapturing faith? How did you come in, friend? How did you ever come in? You don't just come in like you are joining another church. This is not a church joining. This is a birth by the Spirit of the living God. When the word pours into your soul and you receive and accept it, it changes you completely. It makes you a new creature. So he says, unto what were you baptized? We know the story. Then they were rebaptized and they received the Holy Ghost. Once you find the way, you will go where you are going without any problem. Show us the way. Jesus says, I am the way and I am the life. No man can come to the Father. No man can be in the rapture. No man can enter heaven unless he comes by me. And he is the Word. Not only the Word, but the revealed Word. Makes a difference. When that word is revealed and when that word is not revealed, then there's a vast difference there. The revealed word is the message of the hour. Just the word, that's your denominational trend. That's your denominational trend. That the way they read the Bible without prophetic insight, without the anointing of the spirit of the age, the eagle anointing of this age. But when you read that word in the light of the message of the hour, it gives you rapturing faith. You are on your toes, making your life right, trimming your lamps, making sure there is extra oil in there. And you don't take things for granted. You are prayed up. You make use of that food which was stored for this time of a spiritual drought, when there is a famine. Many, many people are hungry. They don't know what to believe. They don't know how to interpret the word. But praise God, the bride has a hidden source. Amen. We have hidden manna. We have special revelation. Now, when Jesus says, whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. This is the same way that we must prepare for the rapture. We've got to know the way. In the message rapture, the prophet says on paragraph 131, now God has a way of doing things, and he never changes his policy. Amen. He never changes. He is the unchanging God. Then he gives a scripture. In Amos 3:7, he said he would do nothing on the earth until first he revealed it to his servants, the prophets. Amen. And just as certain as he promised it, he will do it. So here we come back to the way. That's the way for rapture preparation. God sends his servants to prepare. He sends his prophets to prepare. So they that were ready, who went in to the marriage feast, they heard the midnight cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Who gave it? There must be a messenger there. There must be an evening time messenger there. Amen. To give that call. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And the scripture supports that. Truly, Elias shall first come and restore all things. Yes, scripture supports that. I will restore, saith God. Amen. All the years that the cankerworm and the caterpillar and all these bugs have eaten, I will restore. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. So there is the midnight cry there. So they that were ready are those that accepted the prophetic word from the evening time messenger. Oh, this is beautiful. Those who were ready are those who accepted the preparation message of the second coming of Christ. And the commission came on Ohio River as John the Baptist was sent to forerun my first coming. Your message will forerun the second coming. So this end time message, the revealed word, the revelation of the seven seals, which made the Bible a new book. Amen. Completely. We used to read this Bible when we were in the denominations. We would not be excited as much. We used to read it when we were still out there in the Pentecostals. Sometimes we would sleep over it. And there were too many things we never really would understand. And there was nothing in there to excite us and to ignite our faith. And there was nothing there. There was no eye salve there. There was no oil and wine. The stimulation of revelation was not there. But reading it in the light of the message of the hour, man, you can read the Bible chapter after chapter, chapter after chapter, and having a wonderful time. Amen. Why? It's revealed. Amen. The opening of the seals made the Bible a completely new book. Amen. And we praise the Lord for it. So he says here, God has a way of doing things. And he never changes his policy. That's the thing there I want to stress. He never changes his policy. God does not change that policy of the way that he does his things. He has a way of doing his things. He doesn't change it. What is the way? Prophets. Prophets is his way. So there is no way that we can prepare for the rapture if we then despise and mock and mistreat the servants of the second coming. Amen. They that were ready are those who accepted the midnight call. If we go back in the days of Noah, those that were ready for the ark are those who accepted Noah's message. Amen. Nobody could wind up by some other way and sneak into the ark by some window. They all had to come through the door. Amen. And Noah stood on that door, proclaiming his end time message. Amen. He was the way. Whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. It's the word way. It's the message way. It's the revealed word way. It's the Jesus way. It's baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus way. There's no other way. There's only one way. And he says, unless you come through me, you will never get to the Father. Then he laid the pattern. Go and preach. Those that repent, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's the way. Amen. And this message is the way. Amen. It's not just a way that you may walk and try to get some things from it. It's the way. Amen. The only way. Amen. Amen. The only way. I like that. The only way. Amen. And it's not a highway. No. It's not a highway. The gate is straight. It's a straight gate. Very narrow. It's not a highway. It's a way. Very small. Very narrow. Very winding. Evil spoken of, a unacceptable to many. It's not a highway where everybody just goes on it.
Amen.
Let's see what the Bible says. Those who were ready in the days of Moses, ready for the Exodus, are those who accepted the message of Moses the way you know. That was the preparation message. Slay the lamb. Apply the blood on the doorpost. Anybody who expected to be in the Exodus, the rapture of that day in type, those who expected to leave Egypt, the Egyptian bondage, those who were expecting to go to the promised land had to obey the message of Moses. They had to submit themselves to the message of Moses. You couldn't play games with the message of Moses and say, I believe Moses said we should put the blood on the doorpost, but my revelation differs from that. I'm going to put my blood right on the step. You would not go. You would be killed by the death angel.
Amen.
You had to apply the token, not just talk about it. Neither are we just coming to talk about the message. Are you ready for the rapture? We are coming to apply the message, to live the message, to act out that message, to obey the message, to do what the message says, to live a life worthy of the gospel. In Luke chapter 13, the Lord Jesus gave us this beautiful admonition here. And he said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. We should thank God that we are in, friends. We should thank God that God opened our eyes to see the way. Many people long to see what we see, but they cannot see it. But they do acknowledge that you people, you are blessed. You people, wish I could live a life like you. Wish I could do the things that you do, but I'm unable to do it. It's God's amazing grace that has given us grace to be partakers of this ministry. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. I like verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door. I like that. Not just shut the door, but shut to the door. I like the Bible language there, shut to the door. That's the same way it's written in the days of Lot. Eh? The angels shut to the door. They didn't just shut it, but they shut to the door. That means you couldn't find where the door was. It wasn't just shut, but you couldn't see the way to the door. They shut to the door. You couldn't find the way to the door. You couldn't find how to be scripturally baptized. How to be scripturally say you have now the Holy Ghost as an evidence. God shut to the door. Not just shut the door. If you see, if the door is just shut and you can see it, you'll do the best you can to try and open it because it's shut, but you can see it. But when he shuts the way, even you can't even see where the door is. So those men in Sodom were just groping in darkness, trying to find the door. They couldn't find it. Even if they finally found it, it was still shut. They still wouldn't enter in. But it's a double blindness right there, where the door itself is shut and the way to the door is shut. Just like Elisha, he blinded those Syrian soldiers there. When Gehazi, his young man, was so scared when he seen the Syrian army. Alas, my master, we will perish. He says, Lord, open the eyes of the young man. And he saw chariots and horses of fire surrounding them. And I want you to know this morning, there is angels in here. The Holy Ghost is in here. If God can only open our eyes, it's another channel, it's another realm, it's another way of perception, another way of looking at things.
Amen.
There is angels in here. Your healing is here. Your Holy Ghost baptism is here. Your rapture in faith is all here. And you know what he did? He did not only open the eyes. Oh, this is beautiful. God has not only opened your eyes, but he has blinded others. Because they are not supposed to see. So Elisha opened the eyes of the young man. And what did he do? He blinded the eyes of the Syrian army. And he led those soldiers right into their enemy's camp. Isn't that something? When they wanted to really arrest Elisha, they meet the man that they were looking for, and he blinds them from seeing him. Not only did he do that, he also blinded them from seeing the way. And they began to go with Elisha right into Israel, right into Samaria, where they were supposed to go and attack. And then Elisha says, Lord, open their eyes. And so when their eyes were open, they were right in the enemy's camp. Oh, you ought to thank God that your eyes are open to the right thing. I like the chorus. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Yeah. May God open our eyes. This message is the preparation. It's the wedding garment. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you take this message in its fullness, that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you take it in its fullness, obeying it in its fullness, the token, the message is the life of Jesus Christ. So here it is. Friend, how did you come in without a wedding garment? No wonder why you are not ready, said the servant there. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Which way did you come in? Isaiah 35, verse 8. And then highway shall be there. There's two things there. A highway shall be there. That's for everybody. And a way. That's right at the center there. Right in the middle of the road. On the highway, you have extremes on both sides. Fanaticism on the other side. Coldness and formality on the other side. But right at the center there's a balance. Amen. In the message of the hour. Amen. And that's the way. It shall be called the way of holiness. God shut Noah in. This is the sad part of this. When those that were ready went in, the door was shut. When Noah went in, Genesis 7, verse 16, the Lord shut him in. In Exodus 14, 28, after Israel crossed the Red Sea, the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen. See, they could not partake of a miracle when they were unbelievers. No, God wouldn't let them walk on dry ground and enjoy the blessings of a man that they were calling a fanatic and a false prophet. God had to make sure that the waters come back together before they cross over on the other side. He would not let unbelievers enjoy the blessings of a miracle. And we thank God that God has given us a way to come out of all our problems. Listen, friends, everything that we have need of for this journey is in the message of this hour. Amen. I have played those tapes many times. When I was sick, I received my healing. Many times not knowing which way to turn, deciding on important issues, and I just feel led to listen to a certain message, and right in that message is my answer. All that we have need for on this journey, God has given it to us. Amen. Let's make use of this message, friends. Amen. This is the preparation. This is the wedding garment. You will not be ready outside of feasting on that revealed word.
That's the wedding garment.
When God shuts the door, that's it. That's in Revelation 3:7. I'm he that hath the key of David. He that opens and no man can shut. And when I shut, no man can open. So the two messengers that went to Sodom there, as I just commented a while ago, when the Sodomites came wanting to take those messengers, the Bible says they pulled Lot inside the house. That's Genesis 19, eh? And the men pulled out their hand, pulled Lot into the house, and shut to the door. That's the same way that Jesus said in the parable there, when the master has risen and shut to the door. Doesn't say shut the door, shut to the door. So he's shutting the way to the door. Both the door is shut and the way, you can't find it. This is the same thing here. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness. We cannot expect everyone to understand this message, friends. We cannot. In fact, what has happened right now is the light of the pillar of fire, the too much light of this message, the supernatural element of the ministry of Brother Branham, which made it difficult for some to comprehend, who was he? Was he God? Was he what? What was it? The way that God used him. It was so supernatural. A man who has never seen you, sees you for the first time, he tells you what you're suffering from. He tells you what's wrong with you. He tells you what you were doing just a while ago. To many people, this is God. But he fitted the scripture perfectly, just like John, a type of the bride, was about to worship the angel which showed him the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, don't worship me, worship God. I am one of you. I keep the sayings of this book. I also repented. I was also baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a brother like you. I am also struggling to make it in. You worship God. But the unique ministry where God crossed our path in the ministry of Brother Branham, when God would take him, when he would yield himself unreservedly to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Ghost just to use his lips and start speaking what he did not know himself, he had to go back to the tape to hear what he said about somebody's condition. He was so yielded until at that moment, he was God's voice to us. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. That sign of the Messiah, that gift of discernment, unparalleled, unequaled, so perfect every time to show us it's time to go home. Amen. Are you ready for the rapture this morning? Amen. My brother, my sisters. Matthew 25, which I read. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. So we find these two groups here. They were both waiting for the coming of the Lord. They were both groups virgins. Both groups had lamps. So they had lamps, both of them. But if you read carefully there, the difference was not the oil in the lamp. No. The difference was oil in the vessels with the lamps. You check it out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. They took their lamps. It would not make sense to take a lamp without oil in it. That's not a lamp. What makes a lamp complete is with the oil inside the lamp. Amen. So they took lamps with oil to go out to meet. But if you check in your Bible, the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Amen.
So they just didn't depend on the oil which was in the lamp because they didn't know when he was going to come. And they knew that oil might run out.
Amen.
So the wise virgins took extra oil in their vessels with their lamps. And they went to meet the Lord. But these foolish ones thought he's coming just now. So whatever oil was in their lamps, there was sufficient for them. But then it burnt out. Now both lamps for the wise and the foolish, both lamps ran out of oil. But when the call came out, rise, trim your lamps. Or when you trim your lamp, what do you do when you trim your lamp? You remove the soot. You remove the smoke and you top up. You put more oil in there. That's trimming. Lamp trimming is to remove the dirt, remove the carbon, remove the soot there, remove the smoke, put in some more oil in there to let your lamp burn bright. That's when thou foolish found out there was nothing to top up. And they began to ask this for oil. They weren't asking for oil in their lamps. There was nothing in there anymore. But these who were clever had oil in their vessels with their lamps. So they added their oil in. What is it? An extra revelation. Extra oil. An extra message that the world knows nothing about. Something that other Christians know nothing about. Aren't you thankful to God? You have a revelation of the seven seals that other denominations know nothing about. Extra oil, extra joy, extra revelation, extra source of power, extra source of strength.
Amen. Glory.
Thank God for the message.
Amen.
It makes the difference. When you are in the bride, you're not just an ordinary Christian. You are special. Christian, you are a wise virgin. You have something the Catholics know nothing about. You have something that the Baptists know nothing about. You have something that Pentecostals know nothing about.
Amen.
You have hidden strength. You have a secret sauce. You have special hidden manner.
Amen.
Which makes you ready. They that were ready went in. So there you are, they had oil. And then in the other parable, it was the wedding garment, which both represent the Holy Ghost. Both represent the Holy Ghost, the oil in the lamps, and the wedding garment all represent the baptism of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. Yes, we thank God we are covered by the wedding garment of the restored, revealed word. As God says, Elias will restore all things. Let's hear what the prophet says in The Unpardonable Sin. And brother, when we come to the wedding supper, we've got to have on the same robe that St. Paul had on back yonder. We got to have the same baptism of the Holy Ghost. We got to have the same gospel burning in our heart. The same love. Or we will be turned out. You say, well, brother, I am Pentecostal. No, sir. That won't shadow you a bit. I was a Methodist. I was a Presbyterian. I belong to the Branham Tabernacle. That won't have nothing to do with it. I attend Hickory Bible Tabernacle, that won't have nothing to do with it. I was in the church of Pastor Chikosi, that has nothing to do with it. You need the same wedding garment that Paul, Peter, and them had. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. And not just a baptism of sensations and little emotions, but the very life, the literal life of Jesus Christ in simplicity. God walking on 2 feet, the love of God expressed through you until the whole world will know this is a Christian. We just don't want to be Christians at church. We must be Christians in our neighborhood, Christians at work, Christians in our own home. Our wife, our children must all testify we are Christians. It's simple. It's simple. It's not the visions that we see now. It's not the spiritual dreams that we may have that will make us spiritual. It's the life that we live. The day-to-day lives. Read your Bible, pray every day. Live right and talk right. And just be right to everybody else. Do unto others as you would want them to do to you. That's the ABCs of Christianity. In the Message, Revelation chapter 4, paragraph 103. Oh, listen to this. Then if the wedding garment is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how are we going to be represented any other way? If the first church age had to come by the door, Christ Jesus, be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to put on the wedding garment, how are we coming any other way? If you come by the Methodist, by the Baptist, or Pentecostals, or any other denomination, you will be bound and cast out into outer darkness. You've got to come by Christ Jesus, the way, the door, the truth, and the life. Revelations 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see him. Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready to meet him? His wife hath made herself ready. And I want to hit something here which I will end on. And to her, on verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Amen. Clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Saints, this gives me a lot of joy. To her was granted. Thank you, Lord. To her it was granted. Amen. The righteousness of the saints. What is that? What is that? The righteousness of the saints. You have righteousness? Do I have righteousness? Do we have righteousness? No. It is his righteousness imputed unto us. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we don't have any righteousness of our own. He imputed it to us. He gave it to us. He gave us the message free of charge. We never asked for it. We never prayed for it. We never fasted. Lord, send us Elijah. Lord, give us a message. His love to us. He gave us a word of preparation. In the Apostle Paul in Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith. This is how we are coming in here. We are thankful to God. It's not merited. It's not deserved. We don't deserve it. We don't merit it. But God, rich in mercy, just says, come. All things are ready. Amen. And Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So don't let the devil condemn you. If Christ took your place, boldly take his place. Because he took your place so that you may take his place. So don't look at yourself. Don't look at your ups and downs. Don't look at your achievement. Don't look at your righteousness. You ain't got none. He wants you to look away to him. Don't let the devil ever give you any condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. Absolutely no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In the message, Forsaking All, he says, paragraph 194, forsaken his sonship and became sin. That's Christ, eh? And took our sins that he might take sinners and make them sons. He became me that I might become him. He became a sinner that I might become a son of God. Oh, it is striking what he done. He taken your place that you might take his place. That's Revelation 19 verse 8. To her was granted.
Amen.
It was granted. It was given. This is unmerited divine favor. Sovereign grace. Not by works. Just as it was imputed unto our father Abraham, to David, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin. And the bride to her was granted. In Genesis 15, 16, Abraham believed in the Lord, and God counted it to him for righteousness.
Amen.
And I want you to know your faith is counted to you for righteousness.
Amen.
Because you believe, God says you are righteous. Because you accept the way that God has made for this day, God says you are going in the rapture. Not because you look holy, not because you ain't got not one little mistake there and that, no, but because by faith you've accepted the way. Psalms 32, 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit is no guile. Yes, the bride is made ready by the washing of water by the word of life. Her bridegroom, her husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself for her. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives. On verse 25 and 27, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Amen.
Friends, we love him because he first loved us. He gave himself for us. Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we may be called the sons of God.
Amen.
This is love, and we love him. I mean, we do. We love him. I don't know about you, but I do. I love him. Why do I love him? Because he first loved me.
Amen.
And he gave himself for me. And because I love him, because I love him so much, I love his appearing.
Amen.
I love his coming.
Amen.
And I'm saying, Lord, even so, come.
Amen.
Things are not the way they should be. So much trouble around us, and you can't find no direction. Politics falling apart. Religion falling apart. Everything falling apart. But even so, come, Lord Jesus. I love him too much. I love him too much. And because I love him, I love his appearing.
Amen.
I don't wish for him to delay one day longer. I don't wish for him to delay one night longer. Let him come, even now. Come, Lord Jesus. And if your love for God is correct, if you love your husband and your husband has been away for a while, or you love your wife and she's been away for a while, or you love your child and the child has been away for a while, and you love your sibling, your sister, been away for a while, and you know they are coming. Oh, brother, you are so expecting to see your loved one because you love them. And if we love God, if we love his word, if we love this message, we love his coming. Amen. And every day we are preparing. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself. Watch it. He is presenting it. He is the one who is washing. He's giving us the material, the waters of the word. He gave us a prophet. He gave us a pillar of fire. He gave us everything that we needed. And he's washing us by the word to present us to himself. Amen. Without blemish. Glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And in the headstone coming of Christ, Zechariah says it perfectly. In the headstone coming of Christ, Zechariah 4, then he answered, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Amen. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. That is why the rapture is referred to as rapturing grace. So we don't deserve it. It's grace for the rapture. The God of mercies, the Bible says that somewhere in the letters of Paul, that the God of mercies, in plural, is a God with mercy for that and mercy for that. Mercy for that, grace for that, and it's rapturing grace. God has got grace for your healing. He's got grace for your sustenance. He's got grace for everything you are doing. He also has grace for you to be raptured. Amen. Questions and answers on the Holy Ghost. Just one statement I want to pull out there. We've got to have something to take place here to straighten us out. We've got to get rapturing grace. I like it like that. It's grace to be raptured. We cannot do it without grace. We can't work ourselves into that. It's got to be grace given to us. What the Holy Ghost was given for, paragraph 155. What is the Holy Ghost? God in you. What is it for? To continue his work among his people. To bring his church together. To bring the church to a place in this day far beyond the Lutherans, Methodists, Pentecostal, into a place to an adoption and a rapturing grace. So the rapture is by grace. And our wedding garment came with our Eliezer, the end time messenger. Here is amazing grace. Eliezer. Of old, like also our Eliezer of the end time, he brought the wedding garment for Rebecca. Here is amazing grace. Esther, just like us as well, was given purification from the king. She went before the king to plead for her people. And when she went, she was wearing the royal apparel which had come from the king. The king gave her a crown. The king gave her royal apparel when he chose her to be his wife. And the king provided her with the royal apparel. And when her people were in trouble, she knew she could not try to please the king with her own apparel. So she put on the royal apparel. She put on the royal crown. I like that. She went to present herself before the king with the same material that the king had provided. And she went there to plead for her people. And she obtained favor and found grace in the eyes of the king. I guess when the king was sitting on his throne and he saw Esther coming in the very crown that he had given her, in the very attire that he had given her, it settled it for the king. And when King Jesus will see us dressed in the very message and the revelation that he gave us in this word, it will please him to take us home. We don't want to see him in our own wisdom and in our own interpretation of the Bible or the message of the hour. We just want to see him in dressed in the garments of this message. Ruth, the same, obtained grace and favor unmerited in the eyes of Boaz. Ruth chapter 2 verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? I thank God I wasn't attracted to Jesus before he was attracted to me. I don't know if you caught that. I thank God that I was not attracted to Jesus first before he was attracted to me. He first loved me before I knew nothing about it. And he wrote my name in his book of life. So when I came to say, Lord, come into my heart, I'm on the receiving end. I'm just acknowledging what he has already done. Here is Ruth here. She didn't run to Boaz. Please, Boaz, No. It was Boaz who spotted her and said, whose damsel is there? Which church is that? I like that. Which church is this one? And the prophet in the first seal says, I am going to call you bride. Amen. I will call you bride. Whose damsel is this? Ruth, in chapter 2 and verse 10, she fell on her face. She realized right there her problems were over. When Boaz asked, whose damsel is this? And she said, on verse 10, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And here we are strangers, hey? Just like Esther. Esther obtained grace to be chosen to be the wife to replace Vashti. And she used that grace to find more grace when her people were in trouble. And when God has shown you his grace and saved you, you must use that grace to find more grace in time of trouble. Amen. 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 Esther did the same. She was chosen. She found grace in the eyes of the king. She didn't stop there. When they were going to be killed by the wicked Haman, she used that first grace to go before the king and ask for more grace. Oh, my people are in danger. If I perish, let me perish. She knew she wouldn't perish because she had obtained grace the first time. She knew she would obtain grace again the second time. And you use the same grace that God has given you to become a Christian, to serve him, to accept this message. When you are sick, use that first grace to ask for healing. Ruth found grace, as we see here, when this man said, whose damsel is this? And what did the man do there? If you just give me just a few minutes, I'm closing. I see my time is gone there. Ruth found grace from Boaz, watch it, to eat bread with the reapers. And Boaz himself reached her parched corn and commanded his young men to let also some fall handfuls of purpose for her so she will be occupied. So she saw it right there. This man loves me. This man, I found grace in his sight. So she kept working on that grace. She didn't let that grace go unnoticed. What did she do the next time? She used that grace to find more grace for redemption. In chapter 3, and he said, "Who art thou?" On verse 9, she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." Let's use the grace that God has given us to find even more grace in other areas of our lives. As the Bible tells us here, we have found also rapturing sovereign grace when God's love was projected to us from John 13, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. When his love was projected, it came to its limit, sovereign grace took over. And Paul admonishes us in Hebrews 4, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Amen. In the message of grace, the prophet says, "What saved David when his own judgment said, 'The man will die, he will pay to the utmost, and he will pay for it with his life.'" And the prophet said, "Surely, grace, you will not die. You will not die, David. Grace has saved you." It was grace to David that saved him. Oh my. If it hadn't been for grace, where would we all be? Is that right? Certainly. Sovereign grace is from a sovereign one. Sovereign grace from a sovereign one. Sovereign. What can it do? Sovereign can do whatever it wants to. Listen to this now. Sovereign grace can only be given by one that's sovereign. And God is sovereign. So he can give sovereign grace. Therefore, by being sovereign, grace don't have to ask anybody. It don't have to do. It does what it wants to. Isn't that wonderful? It don't have to ask, "Can I do this or shall I do this? Can I, must I, will I?" Doesn't do it. It does it itself. Grace is sovereign. Therefore, he can save the vilest. He can save the worst. He can save the impurest. He can save the immoralist. He can heal the sickest. Hallelujah. The woman at the well received that grace there. She was the vilest. But she knew something. And I'm so glad I know something. And I'm talking to people who, though they may have failures and mistakes, but they know something. They know that they're supposed to come a prophet. They know that Elijah must come first. They are not perfect. They are not the best of people. They are not the best of Christian examples, but they know something. The woman at the well, she was a loose woman, but she knew something. I like people who know something. That's what God will work on. Something that you know. That woman there, she knew something. In John chapter 4, the woman said unto him, "I know. Yes, I'm a vile woman, but I know Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. And when he's come, he'll tell us all things." Jesus says unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." She knew something because she was represented by predestination. And when you have something in you, seeing the need of a prophet and acknowledging the scriptures of the end time, it shows there you were predestinated unto this. And regardless of your condition, God will see you through. Someone say amen to that. God will see you through regardless. In the message, Mark of the Beast, that's the reason the entire church every person that will ever be in the rapture. Are you ready for this, church? Every person that will ever be in the rapture, their name was put on the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. So you ain't got nothing to fear. If your name was there, sovereign grace will run after you. His goodness is running after me. His goodness will run after you. You may want to jump into this or jump, but if your name is there, he will intercept your way. Didn't he come to Samaria outside of his routine? He needs must go by Samaria. There was a name there which was calling for that redemption, calling for that salvation. And if your name is there, don't you even worry. He will bring you there. Every person that will ever be in the rapture, their name was put on the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. Jesus, on paragraph 77, came by the foreknowledge of God. That no, and Jesus came to redeem or buy back that church. That's why John 4:4, he needs must go through Samaria. And I don't believe today you've just come because it's a Sunday. I don't believe you've just come because you always come. I believe today you've come because God wants to intercept your way. God wants to speak to you. God wants to encourage you. God wants to stir your heart. God wants to challenge you. God wants you to examine yourself. Are you ready for the rapture? I believe you are here not by coincidence. I believe the Holy Ghost led you to this church this morning. And he has a whole lot in store for you. And he needs must go through Samaria. There it is. Philip needs must go by the way to Gaza. There was a predestinated Ethiopian seed there to be given life in the message Invisible Union on paragraph 262. He, the bridegroom, took away your shame. Thank you, Jesus. And he put it in the sea of forgetfulness by the washing of water, by the word and the blood of life. That's what the Bible said. Your first husband that you were married to, the anointed bridegroom, which foreordained you, has washed you by the washing of the water. By the church? No, that don't sound right, does it? You might find that in the Almanac, but not in God's Bible. By the washing of water, by the word. In the word, paragraph 263, you are standing completely justified as though you never did it at the beginning. This is my message to the church now as we go off the air. And as I'm also finishing, in a minute, you are standing, if you are standing on God's word, with God's word, every amen, every jot, every tittle, where are you standing? I'm trying to tell you, pull away from them sharks and get out here in the wheat where you can get ripe before the sun. I hear the coming of the combine. You are standing complete. Justified like you never did it in the first place. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You never done it in the first place. Don't let the devil condemn you. Don't let your weaknesses condemn you. God is looking at that seed inside of you. He's not looking at your flesh. He's not looking at your ups and downs. He's not looking at your mind battles. He's looking at the seed that he put in you before the foundation of the world. Paragraph 265, you are the pure, virtuous, sinless bride of the Son of the living God. Every man and woman that's been born of the Spirit of God and are washed in the blood of Jesus and believes every word of God stands as though you never sinned at the first place. You are perfect. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You are perfect. Paragraph 277, hallelujah, he says, now notice, you are not only that, but you are going to the wedding in the sky, hallelujah, and you are wearing the wedding band of predestinated, unmerited grace, oh, hallelujah, a wedding band of grace, unmerited of your own. God did it himself. He knew you before the foundation of the world. So he slipped the wedding band on you there. Put your name in a book What a thanksgiving. He says, hallelujah. Praise our God. Someone shout hallelujah this morning. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Message of grace, my last quotation. He says, paragraph 131. He can save the wretch, a wretch like me, says the prophet. Oh, how many of you used to be wretches tonight? I mean, this morning, we all used to be wretches. He can save a wretch like me. And he did. What is it? Grace. William Branham, a drunkard son, made a prophet. Isn't that amazing, Grace? A drunkard son made a prophet. That's a paradox. You know how God does his things? He just does his things to blind off the unbeliever. Some say, no, how can a drunkard son be a prophet to a generation? Doesn't make sense, you know. That's the Pharisaic approach to it. But he says, a drunkard son. That don't make any difference. The grace of God saved me. Paragraph 132. Me, I'm a woman's daughter. That was no good. Don't make any difference. The grace of God saved you. It's sovereign grace. It has to ask nobody, nothing. Amen. I'm so glad of that. Hallelujah. Can take the vilest sinner and make him white as snow. Don't have to ask anybody about it. Oh, it can do it because it's sovereign. Paragraph 138. That's what it is. Grace. The grace of God. The grace of God has brought forth. God brought grace into our lives by his love for us. Here is something else grace can't do. Grace cannot be bought. Grace cannot be sold. It's grace. It's by a sovereign one. Yes, sir. You cannot bargain for it. You can say, God, I'll do so and so. If you do so and so, you can't do that. God won't do it. You can't pull nothing out of God. God gives it to you by his grace. Amen. Grace, grace. God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Shall we stand? Grace, grace. Let's worship him. Oh, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sins. Sing it, a grace. Oh, God. God's grace. Hallelujah. Grace that will pardon and cleanse. Within, oh, grace, grace, God, thank you, Jesus. Oh, grace that is greater than all. I'll let you take it in the right key so that we can sing it. I just did it. Let's sing the whole hymn there. Just loosen up and let's loosen up for the rapture, friends. Let's worship him. The word has gone forth. Now it's your time. Amen.
Grace that is God's grace.
that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder, oh, yonder God, Calvary's mount outpour. Oh, there with the blood of the Lamb was. Oh, sing it, everybody, now it's a great.
God's grace that will pardon and cleanse within. This grace, grace, God's grace, grace that.
Close our eyes. Are you here this afternoon? You have examined yourself as the word was being preached, and you find yourself wanting. Maybe you found some looseness in your life, your prayer life, your consecration to Christ. This is your time to say, Lord, I need more grace. And I'm coming using the grace that you have given me to receive this message and to be a part of this church. I'm coming to pray for more grace. And if God gave you grace once, He can give you again and again and again whenever you need it. If you need me to pray for you, say, Pastor Chikosi, thank you for preaching. My heart has been convicted. God gave you that message to help me through. It's my joy to remember you in prayer as you raise your hand to God. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. My two hands are up also. We can never be too ready for His coming. For in an hour that we think not, the Son of Man may come. Gracious Heavenly Father, Your word has gone forth, and we present these sacrifices of lifted up hands from the pulpit to the pew, of a yearning and a longing that we have to be ready. Please, Father, in the parable you said, those that were ready, they went with the bridegroom to the wedding, and the door was shut. Make us ready. Forgive us of all our shortcomings. Whatever it is that has caused anybody to raise up their hand, I pray for more grace. I pray for deliverance. I pray for strength. I pray, oh God, for a breakthrough. I pray, oh God, for a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is, oh God, if it is a looseness in temper, whatever it is, looseness in prayer, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I offer this prayer of thanksgiving that you have heard and that you have delivered and that you have given to your children their desire. I commit them together with this little service on the altar of sacrifice as you continue to comfort us as a church through the bereavement that we have gone through. We thank you, oh God, because you know all things. Nothing happens unless you allow it to happen. And we thank you. Bless us now, Father, for we ask these blessings in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'll just sing one song and give over to the pastor here or whoever is coming. Amen. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing blood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you God, trusting in His grace? This hour, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you washed? Yes, I am. Praise God in the soul. They white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Yes, I am. Oh, praise God in the soul cleansing blood. Oh, are your garments, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed? Yes, I am. Oh, praise God in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained. Oh, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul. Unclean, oh, be washed. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. Are you washed? Yes, I am. Oh, praise God in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, are your garments spotless, white as snow? Are you in the blood of the Lamb? Are you one in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Yes, my garments are spotless, they are white as snow. Yes, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Can we shout hallelujah? Can we give God a praise over Him? Oh, He's coming soon. He's coming very soon. With joy we welcome His returning. It may be morn, oh, it may be night or noon. Oh, we know His coming soon.
give me verse number one. In these the closing days of time, what joy the glorious hope affords, that soon, oh, wondrous truth sublime, oh, he shall reign, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's coming soon, everybody now. Oh, he's coming soon. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. He's coming very soon. With joy, we welcome his return. It may be morn, oh, it may be morn. It may be night or noon, when, oh, his coming soon. The signs around, the signs around, in earth and air, all painted on the starlit sky. Oh, God's faithful witnesses declare, oh, that the coming of the Savior draweth nigh. Join in, oh, hallelujah, his coming. We love his appearing. Oh, his coming very soon. With joy, we welcome his return. Oh, it may be morning, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming soon. The dead in Christ who beneath us lie, in countless numbers, in countless numbers, all shall rise. When through the portals of the sky, he shall come, oh, he shall come to prepare our paradise. Let's rejoice together. Oh, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. Oh, with joy, oh, we welcome his returning. It may be morn, it may be morn. Oh, it may be night or noon. Oh, we know his coming soon. And we who living yet remain shall be caught up one day. Oh, caught up shall meet our faithful Lord. This hope, oh, this hope we cherish not in vain, but we comfort one another. But we comfort one another by his word. Oh, he's coming soon. Oh, he's coming very soon. Oh, with joy we welcome his returning. Oh, it may be morning, it may be night or noon. Oh, we know he's coming soon. God bless you.
this afternoon. Amen. It's been a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I feel like he started off by saying, you have to find a way. But he says, but you know the way. And I was thinking of that song, I Found a Way. Brother Jaron.
I have found a way.
Let's sing that song.
I have found the way that leads to stay yonder in the glory land, where the road is bright, for Jesus is alive, and I hold his guiding hand. But now I have found the way. Oh, I found the way. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I have found the way. I will never fear while Jesus is so near. I'll bravely meet that foe, and happy songs I'll sing in honor of the King, and to glory onward go. Well, I have found the way. Well, I have found the way. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I have found the way.
Give him honor. Hallelujah. Praise be the name of Jesus. Days of Elijah. One last song, Days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet's call, and lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee. And out of Zion to salvation come. Well, these are the days of Ezekiel, where the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, where the fields are all wide in the world. Yes, and we are the voice, and you're declaring the word of the Lord. Well, behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet's call, come on, lift your voice, it's the year of jubilee. And out of Zion till salvation comes. Listen now. And there's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, and lift your voice, year of jubilee. And out of Zion's hills, salvation come.
Jehovah, there is no God like Jesus. There is no lamb like King Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll let you go this afternoon. Just remember, on Wednesday, 2 p.m., we have a service for the Britons memorial service. And the family will receive friends prior to the service from 12:30 to 1:45. And we don't have our regular evening service on Wednesday. So remember that, write it down, and tell your friends. No service on Wednesday. Repeat after me, no evening service on Wednesday. But if you show up, that would be great. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again this afternoon for such a rich word, Lord. Father, we can truly say it was a joy to be in your house. Father, we were supping with you and we were just enjoying, Lord, the blessings that were coming from your word. We were asking ourselves, are we ready? And Lord, we see many things in our lives that we are saying, Lord, help us to be ready. But we love what you say towards the end when you said the garment is granted by grace. We thank you for rapturing faith. We know that it comes by rapturing grace. As we go to our different homes, may you just be with us, Lord, and just go with us, remembering our pastor as he's traveling back and all the funeral arrangements. We just commit them into your hands, Lord. May you continue, Father, to strengthen and upholding the Britons family. As we go back, Lord God, just your spirit be with us, Father, different walks of life. And we remember Brother Keith this afternoon. Help him and be with him during this time. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, friends. Brother Jaron will sing as you are dismissed. We will see you on Wednesday, 12:30 for greeting and 2 p.m. for the service. God bless you.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roar, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Oh, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ soul, and it is sing it as you go, saints, once again.